We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome in. Sports Radio, WEEI. It's Christian Arcand. It's Megan Ottolini. And we're here on this Thursday, the 19th of January, doing fine after a raucous holiday party last night out in Marlboro. We had a great time at Apex Entertainment Center. I love that place. We got there. We left here at 6. We got there right around 7, right? Just about.
Traffic was not an easy go.
Traffic was a little tough on, on the pike there.
God bless everyone who lives out there. And I don't mean to say out there like it's so far away.
It is.
Because it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It is not that far away.
It's
the traffic
close.
On the pike is freaking nightmare.
You have to go two other highways from the pike. That means it's far.
No.
You have to go on three highways to get there.
I'm not even talking about getting there.
Uh-huh.
Like getting past Wellesley from here. I'm like, how the hell do people do this every day?
We got there just in time to take a picture and then leave. Basically,
pretty
we got
much.
There. We walked in. Everyone's hey,
great picture.
RK Mega Jones was there. We all, you know, if you go to our Instagram, the Jones and Mega Instagram, you'll see the first picture of the three of us together, which was cool.
I and, made two new best friends.
That's right, and we also. Right after that picture was taken, they basically said, all right, now everybody go. Last call. Let's get out of here. Let's pack up. Let's go. And that's tough for me because, as I've told you, I love Apex Entertainment. And we were there for such a brief amount of time that I didn't have time to go bowling. I didn't have time to play pool. No popper shot. No go-karts. No laser tag. All the things I wanted to do, I had to sit there and talk to everybody and, you know, pretend like I wasn't just thinking about which games I wanted to play and in which order. And then, as it turns out, the thing's over. I didn't get to do any of it.
I didn't realize that the party started at 4.
Yeah. Oh,
we
they were partying all day.
7. So everybody was like, oh, man, I just played like, I played 5 games of, I don't know, you don't play 5 games of bowling, you bowl 5
you
games.
Roll 5
yeah.
games.
So
yeah.
They were like, and I was like, when? When did this start? What is going on?
It was like a Monday night tailgate. Over in Foxborough. They were just there all day, camped out. But yeah, it was a good time. It was good to see everybody. I finally got to meet people from the morning show. That's the one show I haven't met anybody
really?
From so far. Yeah, because I never see him.
So you met almost everybody from it?
Met.
Because Courtney was on dog duty. She
Courtney was not
puppy.
There, but I did meet the Hillman for the first time ever
and
in my
they
life.
They hate us because they jealous of us.
Rubbed some elbows there with Wiggy, who I actually had met before because we worked together at the old place. But that was Shime was there and Curtis was there, and it was great to meet all of them and hang out with all of them. I knew some of them too, obviously, but it was my first time meeting Hillman, and it was great. I had a great time. It was fun. I just wish we could have stayed longer because by the time we got there, the thing was over.
I got to meet Mrs. Wiggins, and I got to meet Mrs. Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
who do you like
why
better?
Don't I get to do shows with these incredible women? Instead, I have to do shows with their husbands.
I smell a podcast.
It's just like,
Ken, we got an idea.
I'm like, these women are so smart and funny and insightful, and they should have the microphones.
Mm-hmm.
That was my takeaway.
And what are they doing with these guys?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
My wife could not make it because we have the baby at home, and that was her excuse. And it's a great excuse. It works on everything. It really does. I could have skipped that party and said, hey, baby, you know, what do you want from me? But I didn't. I'm a team player, and I showed up.
See, I like having the dog because mm-hmm. I can still go to things. But when I start getting bored, I'm like, I got to let the dog out, guys.
Right.
Sorry. Got to get home.
This like, party's can't awesome.
Have, like, this has been so fun, but I like this damn dog, you know. Meanwhile, I get home, and the dog's like asleep on her back in
yeah.
bed and doesn't care if I'm home or not. But... And then I don't have to be responsible for raising a human life.
There
so.
You go. Anyway, great host as always over at Apex Entertainment Center. They were great to us. Everyone had a good time. I was listening this morning. Apparently Jackson had a really good time. Did you talk to Jackson
Could
at
you
all?
Not figure that out in the moment?
Well, here's the thing. is that Jackson's always kind of like that. If you talk to Jackson, remember when Jackson would like drop in and we were like, where are you from, Jackson? Like, what's that accent? Because you don't know. You can't tell. He says he's from Hyde Park, but I don't know anybody from Hyde Park who ever lived there that talks like
that. That's that Mattapan accent.
I mean, I don't know what that is, but yeah, Jackson was there. He's having a good time, but I feel like Jackson, everybody assumes certain things about him, and that's just not true. It's just how he is. He's like, no, I haven't been drinking all day. I'm not blackout drunk. This is just how I talk and how I look and sort of my natural demeanor.
His
I think that's what people thought about him.
Coworkers on the morning show were saying that about him. I know. Like people who interact with him every single day were saying it on the morning show. He came up and introduced himself to me, and I was like, Jackson, we have worked together. Like, we know each other. And
oh.
So, I don't have Jackson drop, so I play the horse. It's the best I could do.
Oh, that's the best. Anyways, that was a good time last night. Everyone had fun. Jackson had the most fun. And we wake up this morning and find out there's more movement in the NFL coaching carousel as the Buccaneers cleaning house, Byron Leftwich out. And now we're also finding out the Ravens will need a new offensive coordinator as Greg Roman has decided to step away. Also, Sean Jefferson, who I loved when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. He was one of my favorite Patriots when I was growing up. Sean Jefferson interviewing for the Patriots offensive coordinator job. Let's go ahead and start there. Another name thrown into the ring now. Jefferson is the second ex-wide receiver to get an interview here. He did not play for Bill when he was here with the Patriots. I think it was Pete the Poodle's years there in the 90s. I may be off by a year or two there, but he was either that or Parcells, whichever, not a Belichick guy. So how do you feel about Sean Jefferson and his candidacy? He was associate head coach and wide receivers coach with Arizona, who we were just sort of making fun of yesterday.
It's interesting to me in the sense of what could have been if Cliff Kingsbury hadn't decided to flee North America, like flee the continent to Thailand. Because, again, I said this a little bit yesterday, and I don't mean this to say that these are not qualified candidates or that the Patriots aren't seriously considering them. But I do feel like it seems like Bill Belichick is on like a curiosities tour where he wants to hear from all of these different, you know, past players who are now coaching and who have coached in really in systems that he's very interested in. Mm-hmm. West Coast systems, Cliff Kingsbury's system. And to be able to like tap into their brains a little bit and get a sense of what else is going on. Because I wonder if seeing the way that it went when he was trying to put the West Coast system in, the Shanahan outside zone running schemes, and he didn't have the people in the building for that.
Right.
When he was trying to put that in, if he started feeling like he was a little bit behind. And I just say that because he was with the Josh McDaniels system. And that worked great with the personnel and the coaching that they had for many years. So he didn't have to innovate. You don't have to fix something that's not broken. Like, you may not have had the personnel out there at times, especially in 2019, in order to execute it at the level that you expect yourself to.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't out of step. Once Tom Brady left and Josh McDaniels left, then I think he starts looking around and realizing, well, like, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that's been innovated. And I just want to tap in and see what these guys think about how that works, where they've been under these big brains. And the big brain I'd like to go to is out in Thailand.
Right.
On a one-way ticket.
Seems that way. That does just make it all the more baffling why Bill Belichick would, knowing all those things you just said, and I agree with everything you just said, would have turned to the two people that he turned to.
Wasn't it arrogance?
Can you say that it
demonstrates some arrogance?
Matt Jones ran the offense. He ran the system.
Up.
Anybody can run the system. Any coach can coach it. Any quarterback can quarterback it. I'm the man. And yeah, let's go ahead and just run it all out and keep things going from the year before. And it blew up in his face spectacularly. How about Greg Roman stepping away from Baltimore? Would that imply, I think it would, that Lamar Jackson's also leaving? Because if not, then Baltimore, add that to the list of potential offensive coordinator landing spots that are more attractive than New England, I would say, if Jackson's still there. If he's not, then it's well below you. It's probably down at the bottom if, you know, it's Snoop Huntley and the rest of those guys because they don't have a very impressive offense outside of their tight end. Roman stepping away, a potential offensive coordinator candidate here, although that seems like a lateral move. What are you thinking about Greg Roman and his news today?
That one is huge to me in a couple different ways. He is the architect of the Lamar Jackson offense, but I also wonder whether that might, I'm not like, this is pure outside speculation, but does that indicate in any way that maybe there were some clashes between him and Lamar if they're trying to keep Lamar Jackson there. Because, you know, in talking to Dan Orlovsky yesterday, it's just hard to see Lamar move on somewhere completely different. But that this might indicate that. It's scary about the competition. Because looking at the candidates that the Patriots are bringing in for the offensive coordinator position for interviews that have been announced or leaked or whatever thus far, it feels like they're betting on Bill O'Brien. And if Bill O'Brien jumps ship to the Chargers, to if they have Lamar Jackson there, and this is a very desirable destination too. So it makes me worried about the competition for the Patriots offensive coordinator above all else.
Yeah. Roman had 1 year left on his deal, believed to be a team option, and his statement said, after visiting with Harbaugh and huddling with my family, I've decided that now is the right time to move on from the Ravens so that I can explore new challenges and opportunities. I truly will miss Baltimore, but at the same time, I'm excited to attack my next opportunity with focus and passion. That's a coordinator who I think if you bring him in, you are looking at a guy who was able to improvise. And Lamar Jackson, before Roman got his hooks into him, wasn't considered a particularly impressive quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like with Jackson, there was a lot of questions about him. There was a lot of questions about, is he a good enough passer? Is he accurate enough? Is he able to throw in volume like some of these other quarterbacks in the AFC? And those questions all got answered in the affirmative. And I think that Roman had a lot to do with that. I mean, he devised an entire offense around him and made him into one of the best players of this generation, I'd say. I mean, he's an MVP, for God's sake, just a couple of years ago. So there's plenty there. He's an attractive potential OC, I would think, out there on the market. And there's plenty of teams that are looking for offensive coordinators. We detailed all of that yesterday. Then that takes us to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are cleaning house, also maybe losing their quarterback.
Oh, man.
Definitely losing their offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich, who I thought got along great. Remember when Brady went into his house, or he went into the wrong house? He thought it was Leftwich's house, but it was the wrong house. And that was that whole fun thing, and it seemed like those two were just, you know, best buddies, and now out. cleaning house there. This seems like a reaction to the idea of Brady leaving. It seems like they're going to revamp everything. I think it's a much more foregone conclusion that Brady's leaving Tampa, maybe, than that Jackson's leaving Baltimore, or maybe they're all leaving and this is all just teams trying to get out ahead of whatever's next.
Yeah, I mean, look, it didn't go clearly this season was a disappointment to them. It didn't go the way that they wanted, and if it could either be a reaction to Brady planning on leaving, but I don't even know if Brady knows what he's going to do yet.
I plead the fifth.
You know, the way that his exit interview, if you want to call it that, went after the loss over the weekend or on Monday night, it seemed like he was bidding adieu to the Tampa media.
It did seem
he was
that way.
Very gracious, kind of like, I'm never going to talk to you again. So it seems strongly like he's not going to be in Tampa. To your point, much more strongly than Lamar Jackson leaving Baltimore. But that's partly because Baltimore has a little bit of a hand to play with the franchise tag.
Yeah, they do. They can franchise him. They can also, you know, give him this big contract, which is what he's waiting on. And it's going to have to all be guaranteed. And it's going to have to be, you know, locking him down there for the rest of his career and locking them into all that money that it's going to cost.
But again,
I can see why they're hesitant.
Another team that you're going to be competing with to hire in this position. It's just a crowded, it's just a very open job market right now.
Yeah, it really is. The carousel is up and running. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Ryan Garvin's going to tell you what's trending. And when we come back, we got a big basketball game tonight down on Causeway Street. The Warriors are in town, and we'll get to all of the drama surrounding that right after this.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
As we started the show discussing, we have an updated list of candidates who are interviewing with the New England Patriots to be the next offensive coordinator of the team. Just to update you, currently we are looking at Alabama offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien, Vikings wide receiver coach Keenan McCardell, current Patriots tight end coach Nick Cayley, as we talked about yesterday, Oregon assistant head coach and run game coordinator Adrian Clem. But Josina Anderson adds one more name to that list. That would be Cardinals assistant head coach and wide receivers coach Sean Jefferson. Jefferson does have some tie to the Patriots. He did play for the team from 1996 to 1998. The NFL has announced that five teams are set to play in the 2023 international games. The Buffalo Bills, Tennessee Titans, Jacksonville Jaguars, Kansas City Chiefs, and your New England Patriots will each play international games during the 2023 regular season. The belief is that the Patriots will be playing somewhere in Germany. The Buccaneers have fired offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich, and the Ravens and offensive coordinator Greg Roman have agreed to part ways. I believe that sets the vacancies for offensive coordinators to 10 teams right now as we continue through the season. Meanwhile, the Red Sox have made some news today. They signed former Blue Jay Raimel Tapia to a minor league contract, bolstering your outfield depth again. Celtics host the Golden State Warriors tonight at 7:30. Jaylen Brown's still questionable for that game. And the Bruins, they just keep winning. They beat the Islanders 4-1 last night. They play their second consecutive in New York against the Rangers tonight at 7. I'm Ryan Garvin. That's what's trending on WEEI. And we preview what could end up being the biggest game of the regular season for your Boston Celtics. And we will do that right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Then you have Bill O'Brien, who is certainly a prime candidate here. Most people believe he is the favorite, I would say, to get the offensive coordinator job. Not that anything is done at all. I'm just saying he has firmly established position as someone that many people inside the organization want back. Currently the Alabama offensive coordinator, who is right now out recruiting.
Sports Radio WEEI, Christian Arcan, Megan Ottolini. And we got a little bit of breaking news here. I don't know if we need the sounder for this, but I can tell you that Ian Rappaport is tweeted. The Patriots have interviewed Alabama offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien today for their vacant offensive coordinator job. He is considered a top candidate. Rap Sheet then quote tweets a Jacina Anderson tweet about Keenan McCardle, who is interviewing tomorrow, and says the Patriots are not done interviewing, but they may be by tomorrow. Thank you, Rap Sheet. It's a little confusing based on what he quoted there, but yeah, it looks like they're down to the end. O'Brien now getting the interview today. He's already gotten the interview today. Considered the top candidate. They'll interview McCardle tomorrow, or I guess today's Thursday right now, so they're interviewing him today as well, and maybe all done with the process by tomorrow.
How did it go?
I don't know. We'll see.
I need a follow-up tweet.
We'll see.
How did the interview happened? How did it go?
O'Brien tanked it.
Yeah.
Came in, said, I want to do everything Patricia did.
Isn't it kind of weird? Like, if you come in after you've already worked for someone and you're like, ah, this is a weird formality, isn't it?
Yeah.
How you doing? Hey, yeah, looks like not so good. You need me back, don't you?
Right. And maybe
the
for
kids
him,
are
too.
Certainly getting big, aren't they? How's the missus?
Sure are.
Oh, that dog's cute.
I was sort of thinking about that.
I understand you sit down and you're probably comparing notes on what O'Brien saw from afar and what he's been doing at Alabama, and Bill's talking about, you know, what he believes happened over the last year or
right.
2 years even with Mac. But just the intro. The intro's got to be so strange. Been a while, Bill. Welcome back.
You suppose Patricia's in the meeting? Is he in the interviews?
No. That's so awkward.
It would be.
No.
It would be on brand, wouldn't it?
No.
For Bill, I think
I can't
it would be.
Imagine.
It sounds really hard.
I can't. I feel like it's probably Bill. I don't know if Jonathan's there.
That'd be kind of cruel to make Patricia sit in on those interviews. But either way, O'Brien got it today. And I was thinking about something you said yesterday, Megan. You were talking about, like, young coaches and how coaching with Bill is a big draw for some of these young coaches coming up in the system.
Believe it or not, he's still a big deal.
I was thinking, like, for O'Brien in particular, like, just because he's the one that they're talking to right now. He worked for him 12 years ago, you know? Like,
less of a big deal.
10, 15 years ago. And over that time, he was part of a great offense, and they made it to a Super Bowl, and then he went off and coached at Penn State, and then he went to Houston, and then sort of kicked around a little bit, went to Alabama, and now here he is 12 years later applying for the same job he had with the Patriots 11 years ago. Like, you know, I sort of feel like that's what happens with all these coaches. They learn at the foot of Bill. They power up. He gets a recommendation. They go out and coach somewhere else. And they fail miserably, and they come back and work for Bill at, like, half the price. Like, that's, like, usually what happens. That's a very familiar story with a lot of these Bill Belichick coaching tree people. Not all of them. Dayball's doing fine. O'Brien at first was doing fine, but now here he is back, you know, applying for the same job he had 12 years ago. You
Flores
know what I mean?
Had a nice run.
Flores, kind of, until now. I mean,
I think he'll be coaching next year.
You think so?
I do.
After that lawsuit gets squared away.
Yeah, what lawsuit?
I thought
this
he was good,
paperwork.
Too. I thought he was good, too, until I saw what Tua became this year and how much Tua was like, Flores was an a-hole. And Flores really made it hard for me to believe in myself and all these other sort of millennial-y things. But, like, you know, he made that a point of that. He made a point of pointing out the difference between him and Flores. Anyways.
Well, to that point, just real quick, because I do want to respond.
Mm-hmm.
We work in a very competitive industry.
We do.
May not always look like that from the outside, but it's very hard to get jobs and get your next job. And I don't think it's always an indication, like, because you flame out one place, it doesn't indicate that you were horrible, right?
No.
And then maybe you come back and you have to reset somewhere else, and you go somewhere else, and you reset somewhere else. It's kind of the nature of the NFL. Like, it's very difficult, even if you're a great, very skilled, very smart coach. I'm not saying that every field coach is like some great coach who just got a bad shake.
Right. There are some of those.
I think that there are cases, especially in the Belichick coaching tree, where you can point to and say, well, that timing was kind of bad, or that situation wasn't great that he went into, or, you know, it doesn't mean that they're like a total crap coach in every sense.
Mangini, McDaniels. I mean, he's been bad twice now, you know, like, he's gone out there, he's gone out into the world, and it hasn't worked out.
Still has a job.
He does still have a job because they can't afford to fire him.
That's true.
Patricia and Judge, I don't have to tell you about those guys. I guess Dean Pease went off and, you know, had a decent little career there. He was in Atlanta. He was in a couple other places.
And the truth is, Brian Flores was just too strong of a man for those Miami Dolphins.
Apparently. Apparently
he
that
would not
was the,
bend to their yachty ways.
That was the issue.
Every time you think of the yacht meeting, what do you think of? Like the story that came out about he's on the yacht and Brady shows up on the yacht and he's like, this is tampering.
Yeah. I think of Dwayne The Rock Johnson in that Baller show.
That's what you think?
That's what I think of. What
See,
do you think of?
I immediately think of Wolf of Wall Street
when
Leo starts throwing money at Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights and he has the lobster. That's how I picture that went when Flores started walking off the boat.
Yeah, that's probably better than mine. 617-779-7937, there's
anyway.
The phone number. Let's take a couple of calls here on this. I know we're going to talk Celtics. We'll do that in just a second. First, let's get to your Patriots coaching calls. We'll start with Carlos in Rhode Island. Hi, Carlos.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How you doing, Carlos?
Not too bad. So, with this whole OC interviewing, this really angers me because I feel that this year was a wasted season. This should have been done the minute McDaniels left. I mean, you're wasting Matt Jones's rookie contract, as they like to say. And my other question, well, I have a question. So if they're interviewing McCardell and Jefferson, would that mean, say, if they hired them, they'd go in a whole new offense opposed to just Billy O'Brien?
Yeah, probably. I'd imagine O'Brien.
Good question.
O'Brien would probably bring his own offense in, too. I think anybody who comes in here is not just going to continue what Matt Patricia and Joe Judge built last season. I would hope they go in a very different direction, but I honestly couldn't tell you for sure. I really don't know. I wonder, though, with McCardell and Jefferson, these wide receivers, if they do come in, what would that would mean for someone like Troy Brown? You know, Troy Brown's the wide receivers coach. He's not really getting talked about as a potential offensive coordinator. You bring in a guy who was a wide receivers coach, make him the OC, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe he wants his own guy and Troy Brown's out. Like that, I could see that happening. I wouldn't want that to happen, but I sort of wonder about that when you bring in these very wide receiver-centric potential coordinators.
Well, it may be a risk with whatever offensive coordinator you bring in. Sure. If Bill is really handing the reins over on that side the way that he did with Josh McDaniels, that guy will probably have his own guys who he wants to bring in and have in different positions. It might work out if that guy's not Nick Caley and all of a sudden you need a new tight ends coach. And, you know, there's been a little bit of a void since Ivan Fears left. So you need, you know, it's a really strong running back group, but maybe that gets rejiggered a little bit. So I don't know. There's going to be a lot of turnover. What was the first part of his question? I can't remember.
I can't remember either. He was upset about wasting a year of Mac Jones or whatever.
That
was,
yeah, no, I mean, look, obviously we agree with that. You can't, it's not even just about the rookie contract that you're not getting the bang for your buck, but you hurt his development. You set him back. Like, you didn't just put him in a holding pattern. I think you actually screwed with him.
And that's one of the worst things you can do with a young quarterback, you know, if not the worst. 617-779-7937. Let's go to David in the car. Hey, David.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking the call, as
got
always.
It, David.
So before I make my comment about Tommy Kerr and his contacts, I do have one thing about all these coaches that were here before and left, and they weren't very successful. I think we all forget the reason they're all pretty successful here was part of the reason Brady was here.
Right.
So you look back all those years, they had Brady, made him look good. They went elsewhere. They didn't have Brady, and that was part of the issue. So now let's see how they do when they come back here without Brady. That's the challenge, and that's really your test. Now, as far as Billy O'Brien interviewing today, and if Mr. Tommy Ekern has all these connections, inside connections, why hasn't he reported on it? He should have already.
We'll ask him about that today, David. We'll talk to him at 4:30, and we'll ask him that exact question. We'll say, David in the car wants to know why you've been slacking off on reporting these meetings and these interviews. He's very upset about it. That's called pulling a Greg Hill.
These are a lot of two-part
Scheim here says that you're
questions.
A real lousy coach, Bill. What do you think about that?
Why didn't you have that, Tom? What the hell?
Yeah, what's that about? Yeah, we'll ask him. We'll be talking with Tommy Kerr later on.
Why didn't you have it, Arcan? Why didn't you have it, Ryan?
I'm not a reporter, and I don't pretend to be one, and that's why I don't ever ask anybody questions, because that is not my job.
What about the first part of that? That these other coaches, that these former Bill assistants go elsewhere and get head coaching jobs and they don't succeed because they don't have Tom Brady? Like, is Brady the only thing that made assistants look good here?
It's a wonder how the other teams in football have won
exactly
games
like
Tom Brady,
that's
then.
This little like, appreciate the call, David, but it's a little silly. Like, you can't blame Matt Patricia going to Detroit and putting out one of the worst defensive teams that Detroit has ever had, which is saying a lot, like, statistically for the Detroit Lions, on, well, he didn't have Tom Brady. Like, that doesn't really equate.
I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL, where I think I did a pretty good job.
Yes, I did a very good job stepping in front of that path. A lot of people thought that was Malcolm Butler. It was not Malcolm Butler. That was me, Matt Patricia.
We look alike.
By the way,
Brian Flores is stupid.
The people have pointed out to me that Matt Patricia does not sound like how I voice him. I just want to say that is how he looks like someone who talks like that, and that's why I do that voice.
I can't tell the difference.
He looks like a person who talks like this. And by the way, this voice is from, remember the show Doug on Nickelodeon?
So yes.
Remember that show? Remember his neighbor?
Very expensive.
Yes. The hello, Douglas. Like, that guy, like, that's who it's based off of. It's not anything else. It's the weird purple guy from the show. Joe Doug is who the Matt Patricia voice is, in case anyone was curious. 617-779-7937.
Give me one of your best jokes.
Right here, Douglas.
So stupid.
Mr. Dink.
Mr. Dink, that's his name. Yes, thank you, Mr. Dink.
Matt Patricia's Mr. Dink.
Yes, yes, I am. And I'm a very good defensive back.
Come on, let me have it.
Throw that pass, Russell Wilson. I'll pick it off. I made the greatest play in Super Bowl history. Anyways, we were going to talk Celtics here. We might as well just sort of tie the rope here on this. Bill O'Brien, if he's the guy, we should start getting ready for a lot of propaganda, I think, coming out of Foxborough about Bill O'Brien and what he was there and what he's been since then. Because I do think that if we're going to take a honest look at Bill O'Brien and the type of coach that he is and the way that he relates to players and other things of that nature, you have to look at the way things ended in Houston. You have to. I know he's not going to be the head coach here. Fine. I don't know that the head coach has a great relationship with his players here in Foxborough right now. I don't know that. I don't think that it's great. I think that there's a lot of people there who are still pretty sore over this whole offense thing and maybe don't have a ton of confidence in their head coach. You bring in someone like Bill O'Brien, there's a proxy, there's, you know, okay, he's going to be in charge of you guys now and it's going to be someone who knows what he's doing. That's fine, and that's a step up from what you had. Bill O'Brien also alienated a lot of those Houston Texans, and I totally forgot about this. I was listening to the playmaker Michael Irvin talking about this on his way in here with Gresham Fauria. He also really, really invested a lot in that Easterby guy. Remember Jack Easterby?
Yes.
He was
How
all in
forget?
With Jack Easterby.
Wait, Easterby
he brought him
was,
in.
Easterby was Park the Car guy, right?
Was he yes. Park the Car guy?
Stand-up comedy.
Yeah, his,
yeah, yeah.
His stand-up
yeah, yeah, yeah.
comedy.
Yeah,
they
park
got this
the car,
phrase.
Guy, yeah.
It's got to go park the car. This is the worst stand-up comedy, and that's saying a lot. Ever.
What's up, kid? What you looking at, son? Not your kid, not your son. Just here for the game, bro. Like, chill out, man.
That's funny. It's very funny there, Jack Easterby. Who was the running back that tried to do stand-up comedy? The guy who had that one really good game, and then you never saw him again.
Oh, was it Jonas Gray?
Jonas Gray, yeah, Jonas Gray did stand up.
Oh, does Blake Griffin still do stand up?
I never know.
Oh,
that
he's gainfully employed.
He does
stand up,
and you know Boston's got a good scene.
Yeah,
at least Blake Griffin is likable.
Go where
you're
from. Boston, right? Everybody says this phrase, and it's huge. It's like, yo, we got to go park the car.
Nailed it.
Like, we got to do what? What are you talking about? We got to go park the car. I'm like, what are you?
I hate it so much. He's like a...
There's no punchline.
If there's a t-shirt in the middle of the mall that like got up and started walking around and talking, that's what it would be that.
Sarcastic comment
yeah.
noted.
And,
you think
yeah.
that's relatable?
The t-shirt like gets off the rack and it's like, wicked pizza. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Brutal.
Laser show.
I'm just saying, Bill O'Brien's a step up from what you have, but can we stop acting like this is the perfect hire and that he's had a perfect record and that he's never, had things go really badly for him in the NFL level? Like, the way things ended in Houston, that franchise, look at them since he left. He dragged that thing down into the mud, and they haven't been able to pull themselves out of there since then.
Okay,
it's been rough there.
They were on Hard Knocks while he was there.
True.
You know, like, it's not like he inherited some great franchise.
No.
That he had to up, like, oh, man, how is he going to follow this? How is he going to uphold this? Like, it's not like he went in and he's one of these just, you know, silly morons who gets put into place by down in Dallas or whatever. It's
right.
not like... One after the other. I feel like, again, that's an incident with O'Brien. Like, that's where I'd be willing to give him another shot as a head coach. Even though he's from the Bill Belichick coaching tree, and most of them have flamed out as head coaches elsewhere, he does relate to players well. Like, I think this is interesting. Aside from DeAndre Hopkins and how things ended in with the Texans.
Wouldn't say it related too well to him.
Yeah, like not that one.
And that trade they made was a horrible trade, too.
Well,
when they
be
traded
your
him
GM,
out of there. No,
so.
He wouldn't, but... You know, that's sort of what it came to. Like, it was such an impossible position that they ended up making a bad trade just because the coach and the star player couldn't get along. Like, you know, you got a guy here in Mac Jones who was shown to be a little bit emotional sometimes, who was shown to maybe light up his coach here and there.
See,
and,
that's
you know what
where
I mean?
I like, push back, though, because I feel like he and Mac would get along well for many reasons.
Yeah?
Oh, so many reasons.
Like?
So many reasons. Okay, I'll list off two. One, and we'll get into this a little bit later, because Jeff Howe was on Andrew Callahan's Pat's Interference podcast, which is really good. If you haven't listened to it, subscribe to it. And Jeff Howe was talking about the point that Mac made several times, tripled down on, about wanting to be coached harder.
Sure.
If he wants to get yelled at, if he's like, you know, a little masochist that way and wants to be coached harder and wants someone to yell back at him when he yells on the sideline.
Scream at me. Curse me out. Make me run.
That's, spit in my mouth.
That's totally Bill O'Brien. And I don't think it would compute the same way with other guys because Bill knows what he's talking about.
Do you think that's really what Mac wants? Mac wants some guy riding them all the time and calling them out and yelling in his face and all that?
The other thing is he comes, like, Mac needs the trust. He needs somebody he can trust in.
Okay.
And this is coming from one of the most trusted places in the world for Mac Jones, which is Alabama, and Nick Saban. Like, Nick Saban is Mac Jones' safe space. And so if Nick Saban has Bill O'Brien in his good graces, which I think personally they still do, you know, even though Alabama's season didn't go the way that they wanted it to with the national championship appearance even, I think that that... for just for a starting point, after things frayed so much with the last offensive coordinator, even though he never got the title, with Mac Jones, having that starting point, it's like, oh, okay, this is one of my guys. You know, this is like my cousin. My cousin's here. I can trust him.
We'll
Let's
see.
Rebuild.
I hope so. I hope that that's the relationship that they have. I really do, because I think that Mac needs it, and for the good future of this franchise, I think that that's something that really would be much better than the alternative. But I think when Mac Jones talked about, I want to be coached harder, he meant, I want a coach who knows what the hell he's talking about,
okay,
who can
well,
talk
getting,
to me, who
you're
can say
getting
something.
That here.
But that's a very small thing, you know, like any other offensive coordinator knows what they're doing ahead of Matt Patricia.
No, he said, I want to have uncomfortable conversations. Like, I want to confront the issues. Because I was like, oh, this
he's
is interesting.
He's confronting the issues right on the field. He was confronting
that's
them
what he
right
was trying
face.
To do.
Yeah.
He was like, yell back at me. Push back. Oh, my God. Like, stand up to this.
We'll
explain
me.
Something.
Tell me I've been a dirty little pig boy. Rub my face in it.
You know what I'm going to do? Instead, I'm going to say, was it really that bad for Mac Jones? Hey, put that out there, fellas. Will you write it? Was it really that bad for Mac Jones? Leak it out there, fellas.
That's fine. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, John Tomasi doesn't want us yelling at Draymond Green. He thinks that we should not yell at Draymond Green. Don't boo Draymond. Don't curse at him. Don't say anything bad. We'll get to that next.
Your thoughts on the crowd's response to him all night?
On the crowd's response to Draymond?
Yeah.
Classy. Very classy.
What were your impressions of the crowd and the environment tonight, and how much was that a factor in the game?
It was not a factor. We played in front of rude people before, dropping F-bombs with children in the crowd. Real classy. Good job, Boston.
I know Hazel is very upset just because our kids were at the game and they're listening to that. I don't make much of it. And we okay. We walked out of there smiling with our head held high. Me chasing him down the hallway and him having a good time. And that's how we're going to walk out of there on Friday.
All right, back here, Sports Radio WEEI. We got a big Celtics game tonight, so let's get into it. That was from last year, obviously, in the finals. The Garden faithful really giving it to Draymond Green, who was out there playing like an a-hole in that series. This is how he usually plays when he gets to the finals. This is a guy who's very famous for kicking opponents square in the jewels, getting suspended for finals games. I mean, Draymond Green's been kind of a loose cannon when it comes to stuff like that. He was last year. The fans probably going to get on him anyway, but definitely were raining down on him. I thought it was interesting because up until, I guess, November or whenever it was that he first brought up the race thing, I kind of thought that for all the, you know, stereotypes and everything that Boston gets, and I'm not saying we don't deserve it here. I mean, clearly there's a lot of work still to do. I kind of thought the finals last year was a good example of, see, this is what you can be. You can be booing people. You can say F you, Draymond. You can say these things that aren't nice things to say, but you can do it without being racist. And then in November and now more recently sort of brought up that there was racial stuff to it, which to me, I mean, I'm not saying that he's lying now and I'm not saying that he was lying then. I am saying that the story seems to have changed a little bit because at the first response he had to it was, yeah, you know, I like the energy that the Celtics fans had. I liked it. I liked the back and forth. F you, Draymond. F you, too. Ha, ha, ha. It's funny. This is what I like. This is the kind of player that I am. And then it sort of switched to something worse, you
nefarious.
Know? Nefarious and darker and racist and, you know, all that, which, if that was the case initially, it seemed like a weird response to sort of laugh and joke about it and then talk about it all this time later at the White House or whenever it was he talked to Ramona Shelburne. So, again, I'm not here to call him a liar or anything. I'm not saying I think he's lying. I'm just saying that it was one thing and then it became another thing. And that, as a Boston fan and someone who works in this market, bothered me just because, you know, I thought, all right, well, maybe Boston fans are starting to get a little bit more. Maybe you're starting to understand here that you can be good fans and you can get on a player's case and you can do all that without crossing whatever line that got crossed there. So I don't know. I'll tell you this. John Tomasi doesn't think we should be crossing any lines, any lines at all.
Sorry.
Do you have his column up?
Yeah, I do. So, or I just did. Hold on, let me grab it. I'll grab it in a second. Oh, here it is. So Tomasi is basically saying, during last year's NBA Finals, the TD Garden crowd managed to get under Draymond's skin for all of one game. He kicked everyone's ass up and down the floor thereafter. I understand the urge, but he can take your abuse and turn it into rocket fuel, so please don't. He goes on to, you know, why the trying to rattle the cage of the opposition is a time-honored tradition in Boston and the success or lack of success there and the place for it. But basically, with this guy in particular, don't be shouting, you know, F you, Draymond, and he's going to turn it into something for himself. And here's the thing, and I honestly, I'm not in a position to touch on his experience at all or anyone's experience if they have had that kind of disgusting language volleyed at them mm-hmm. at sports events. Like, that's, there's just, I don't think, I hope I don't have to say, like, there's no place, there's no time. It's absolutely disgusting and unacceptable. And if you ever hear somebody next to you at an event say something along those lines, I don't know. I know violence is not the answer, but I also wouldn't fault it. I don't know. Like, it's disgusting.
It
I'll say it that way. But the thing with Draymond is, and the thing with the NBA is, Draymond courts this interaction. He has a podcast. Like, he goes out there, and if he thrives off it, this is one of my favorite things about the NBA, you know, is, like, going back to Spike and Reggie Miller with, like, choking on the sideline. Like, this, sometimes we forget that this is entertainment. It's incredible competition. Athletes, this is their livelihood. This is, you know, generational wealth. They take this incredibly seriously, and they only get to play for a short amount of time. And we see these great feats, and generations of families are wrapped up in the laundry of these teams. And I appreciate all of that. It's also fun to heckle. Like, can we keep it fun? Can we keep having fun with it?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, dude, it's a 7:30 game on a Thursday. Like, we're not talking about a 1 p.m. matinee on Sunday, like on a long weekend. This is adults time, okay? Like, my feeling is if a 7:30 game is tipping off at, like, 7:45, like, so, okay, the game pretty much starts at 8. If you're bringing your kid to an 8 p.m. game on Thursday, like, you're essentially bringing them to the bar. That's what you're doing.
Kinda, at yeah. least pretty in, cool parent then.
At least in Boston.
Father of the year.
Like, it might be different in another, if you're at the Chase Center. Might not be. I've been there. That's not really the atmosphere. It's pretty different.
I'd imagine.
But that's what you're exposing your kid to.
Yeah.
Like, I went to football games growing up at FedEx, and I heard some pretty interesting language. And I've learned it, and I've
you
kept
ever see
it
those
in my
old
back
guys
pocket,
who wore so. The dresses and the pig masks?
That was before my time.
That was
I mean,
your time?
Those guys are still around, but yeah. that was super glory days.
Those
but,
guys,
yeah,
those guys are great.
The Hogs.
Yeah, the Hogs. Here's the thing about Draymond Green that I sort of agree with you there. We're talking about a major hothead, and I do think that John Tomasi has a point here. I'm not sure that I agree with the way that he made it, but the point being, you go after Draymond Green like that, he uses it and it fuels him, and then he goes out and he plays better. Now, does that mean he's going to score 35 points and grab 20 rebounds and give you like a Giannis a stat line? No, of course not. But that means that he'll use that, internalize it, get rebounds, make plays, get on defense and frustrate guys like Brown and Tatum. And that's, you know, I think the point that he was trying to make there, along with, you know, grow up a little bit, Boston fans. But I to that say no. Obviously, don't cross lines that you shouldn't cross. That goes without saying. But in terms of the anger and hatred towards Golden State, I embrace that. I hope that it continues. I hope that it continues to burn like this, because the Celtics don't have anybody left. There's no rivalries left for the Celtics. All my entire life as a Celtics fan, going all the way back to the day I was born in 1982, there was a team that the Celtics played that you hated. You hated them. You hated Detroit. You hated the Lakers. You hated the Bucks. You hated the Knicks. You hated, in the 90s, you hated, like, those New Jersey Nets teams with Jason Kidd and Kenyon Martin.
Oh, I love those Nets teams.
You hated the Lakers with Kobe. You hated everybody. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it did. Then you hated LeBron with the Cavs. And recently you hated Brooklyn and Kyrie and Kevin Durant. You own Brooklyn now. You own that team. You'd never lose to them anymore. Do you have a hatred rivalry with Milwaukee? I don't think so. Miami, maybe a little, but I don't feel like there's a lot of anger there. There's still anger. There's still hatred with Golden State.
I think you're a little scared of Miami.
Me?
No, I'm saying Celtics.
Oh, the Celtics are. Yeah, maybe a little bit, but I don't think that you have that same kind of burning anger. Maybe the Heat do, but the Celtics don't for them. They do for Golden State. It's the only team left. It's the only team left that you have this kind of thing with. And I say, hold on to it and keep it burning.
Well, so Tomasi's point here, he says, you know, if Draymond gets the ball, instead of chanting F you Draymond, you should chant for him to shoot. You know, because that's what he's not.
It's not a bad idea.
Because he's washed.
Yeah.
I guess the FU thing just doesn't bother me. And like I said, maybe I'd feel differently if it was like a Saturday, Sunday afternoon. And, you know, there's the cute kids there in the oversized jerseys and they just want to see Tatum and everything. But that's not like we're all adults.
Except
I don't understand.
Deuce Tatum is going to be there, and he's not an adult. But other than that,
well, he's used
Deuce
to
will
it.
Be leading yeah. the FU Draymond.
He hears it all the time. Come on, yeah, Deuce.
Deuce with a little middle fingers.
It'd be pretty funny if Deuce is leading that.
Deuce
like
trips Draymond as he walks by. 617
shouts at him.
779
That's for my dad.
7937 There's your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls, and we have some more news coming out of the NFL. Another coordinator has been relieved of his duties in the AFC East. We'll tell you who it is right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.